Everything you do is good. You are God. You are God alone. Everything you do is good. You are God. You are God alone. You have the final word. Final word. It's still our month of remembrance, and we have dealt with many aspects of the subject matter of remembrance. Last week we dealt with ingratitude. How many of us remember that one? Oh, I can't see your hand up at all. Last week we dealt with the issue of ingratitude. But this morning I want to deal with another aspect, and my focus is on how will you be remembered when you are no more? How will you be remembered when you are no more? The truth of the matter is that there is a set time for all of us. And a season will come, a time will come. Perhaps according to the time of God, we will not be here. But how would you be remembered? What kind of legacy would you leave behind by the grace of God, that generations that will come after you will remember you and call you blessed? You see, it's not just sufficient to live a long life. It's not. The man in the Bible who has the accolade for having lived the longest amount of life is Methuselah. He lived 969 years of his life. That's all we know about him. That's all. In fact, the only reason any of you know his name is that he lived long. But right there and then you meet men like Jesus Christ, who lived to 33 years, and his impact, we are still trying to figure out the dimension of impact that he has had. Are you with me? Yeah. So it is not just enough to live long if that length or longevity is not associated with impact. It's not also enough to be famous. Because when you go to places like the West, there are people who are famous for being serial murderers. They have fan clubs created in their honor. People pick them as their heroes and they want to be like them. So having fame and popularity alone is not sufficient. It is not a measure of impact. Impact is the level of influence you have had over the lives of people and the number of people who can point to you and say, but for this man, but for this woman. Am I talking to somebody at all? It is not also about money per se. Because you see, you need to have a purpose before you have money. If you pursue money in hopes that money will give you purpose, you are in trouble. The money must come to fund a purpose already in existence, already identified, already being pursued. Some of us are also hoping that our marriage will give us purpose. You'll be disappointed. Because your purpose must be clearly defined before you marry. You are hoping another man's son or another man's daughter will come and help you find your purpose, will come and define purpose for you. You'll be disappointed because for all you know, they also don't know their own purpose. So that's a man and a woman confused in life, working together in hopes that love will sustain whatever they are doing. I pray for us that God will give us grace in the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand, shout yes. Yes. And so I want to drive a message in your heart that by God's grace, you will never forget that whatever you are doing in your time on this earth, in your time allocated from God, should be such that you make so much impact that when you are no more, you'll be remembered. For standing for God, for fulfilling purpose, for fulfilling your assignment. Amen. Now look at this scripture. I want us to use a man like David as a study of what impact looks like. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36.
The book of Acts 13:36.
Yes.
For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God.
After he had done what?
Served his own generation.
Talk to me. After he had done what?
Served his own generation
by the will of God.
Fell on sleep.
He slept.
And was laid unto his fathers.
And he was buried, laid unto his fathers.
And saw corruption.
And his body decayed. After he had served his generation by the will of God. In other words, after he has served his generation, his time, his season, according to the purpose of God for his life, then he was put to rest. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has something to contribute to your generation. You must have a mindset that is transgenerational in perspective. Your mindset should not just be about what to eat today and where to sleep today. Those kinds of things are myopic and will not lead to impact. Your mindset will be, what would I do by the grace of God that establishes the will of God, that extends the purpose of God for my life, that will cause generations that are yet unborn to remember how I lived for the Lord, how I stood for God, and how I made impact in my time. Hallelujah. Some of us in our families, if we had a great-great-grandfather like that, we would not be where we are today. But the absence of such a great-great-grandfather should not stop you from becoming that great-great-grandfather your grandsons will be talking about. Am I talking to somebody? It says after David served his generation. Do you know, God? It is not a mistake that God brought you in this generation. There have been other generations. There have been many. There have been many peoples, many seasons. There have been many times and many peoples have come to pass. Why did God decide that you have to be born in this particular generation? There is a purpose for God over your life for your generation. You need to make impact in your time. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? Okay. Ephesians. I want the NIV chapter 5 verses 15 to 17. Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians 5:15-17. Be very careful then.
Read it again.
Be very careful then.
Be very careful. Like they are giving somebody a warning here.
How you live.
Be very careful how you live.
Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity.
Doing what?
Making the most
of every opportunity.
Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is.
Therefore, this is where when you read it in local language, it's exciting. Do not be foolish. Is it your Bible? It said, do not be foolish. Wow. Just be very careful how you live your life, as wise and not as unwise. And it goes on to say, do not be foolish, but take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way. It's in your Bible. Opportunities will come your way. Avenues will come your way. Doors will come your way. How you maximize them is on you, and it is the evidence of whether you are a fool or you are wise. How you treat opportunities determines the level of your wisdom. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Bible says, so be very careful how you live your life. So you don't live life anyhow. No. There must be a purpose associated, attached to how you are living. It must be purposeful in nature. When you are purposeful, it isn't everywhere you go. It isn't everything you do. It isn't anybody who is your friend. You are careful, calculated, and meticulous in the places you go and the people you associate with. If it doesn't further your purpose, you don't do it. If it does, you pursue it. I pray that by the time this sermon is over, somebody will be angry in their spirit and they'll decide to live a purposeful life. Or lift up your right and say, I am the one. It said, therefore, take advantage. You see, opportunities will always come in life. and they'll always come to everybody. How you decide to maximize it and take advantage of it is what will determine whether this is a life of impact or not. When you read scriptures, we have been told David, after he had served his generation, now he was put to sleep. What is the evidence that David was a man of impact? What is the evidence? Can I show you a few evidences in scripture? Number one, 1 Chronicles chapter 22. So you read from verse 1 to verse 16, and I want you to listen attentively. From verse 1 to verse 16.
1 Chronicles 22.
Yes, sir.
Then David said,
okay,
the house of the Lord God is to be here,
mm-hmm,
and also the altar of burnt offering for Israel.
Okay.
So David gave orders to assemble the foreigners residing in Israel,
mm-hmm,
and from among them he appointed stone cutters to prepare dressed stone for the building of the house of God.
Yes.
He provided a large amount of iron to make nails for the doors of the gateways.
Who provided the iron?
He, David.
David. Who provided the stone cutters and stones? David. Who provided the land? David. Go ahead.
And for the fittings, and more bronze than could be weighed.
He brought bronze. They couldn't even weigh the bronze he brought.
He also provided more cedar logs than could be counted.
He brought wood. They couldn't count it.
For the Sidonites and the tyrant, he had brought large numbers of them to David.
Mm.
David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced.
Okay.
And the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence.
Now, God had told David that, you continue. God had told David that you have too much blood on your hands. You have fought too many wars. So as much as I love you, you can't build a temple for me. David wanted to build a temple that will be for God. And he had a plan in his mind. He wanted it to be so magnificent, so glorious. And God said, you can't build it. Now, if it were some of us, we'd be angry. What do you mean? Why I can't build for you? The wars I fought, did I fight on my own? Were you not the one who led me to fight those wars? And now you are telling me because of those same wars, I cannot build a temple. People will be angry. Guess what he does? He said, my son Solomon, he's young and inexperienced. He's the one God wants him to build it, but he's young. I want it to be so magnificent. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get all the resources he will ever need for the building of the temple, so that when he comes of age, he just picks the resources and builds them to the glory of God. The one providing the resource and the one actually building, who has done the building? Are you with me?
Yeah.
So although God told him, I won't allow you to build, the man in wisdom decided, I'll still be part of this building. Yeah. One way or the other, I must contribute. Says he brought logs and wood they couldn't count. He brought bronze they couldn't weigh. He brought stones and this and that they couldn't. He is making sure that they will lack nothing. So we'll read on.
And the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame,
yes,
and splendor,
yes,
in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it.
Mm.
So David made extensive preparations before his death.
Before
his death.
His death. He made extensive preparations. He said, this house must be so beautiful that all the nations around us will be shocked that this is the temple of our God. He wasn't building his temple, his palace. He wasn't building his home. He had a mind to build a temple, and he provided all the resources. So long after his death, anybody who saw the temple knew that, this was David. Although Solomon put it up, this one, it was David. So he is not alive, but his legacy and impact lives on. You know, when you read on, when you go home, please continue. When you read on, he prayed a prayer for Solomon. And he said, I pray for you that the Lord will give you wisdom and understanding. What is Solomon known for? The wisdom that he, Solomon, even had, that God came and gave to him. His father had prayed the prayer in this chapter and said, I pray for you that God will give you wisdom and understanding. So what his son was known for, it was because of him. What a legacy. Some of you, what your children will be known for, it must be because of you. Are you with me now? It must be because of a prayer you have prayed for them, of your hands you have laid on them, of a blessing you have communicated to them, of something you have done for them, of a foundation you have given them. If your children come to fight the battles you are fighting now, you have failed. Do you know? God told him that you can't build because you fought many wars, but a son is coming after you. His name shall be Solomon. That son, he would have rest. So David had to fight so Solomon would have rest. It is the rest that gave him the opportunity to marry all the women he married. He had nothing to think about. He had money, rest. So as part of his hobby was marrying. Some of you, you have work to do. You have adopted Solomon's strategy as part of it. Are you serious at all? Do you have countless gold? Look at your beard over there. What are you talking about? Yeah. This was the legacy he left. Legacy he left behind. The temple. Do you know where they are fighting over? Israel and when the Palestinian about the temple. This is the seat of David. They are still fighting over the temple he built. What a level of impact many generations after he's gone. Hallelujah. A man came to see me sometimes. Says one of the things God has given to him, one of the things he loves to do is to build churches in villages. So he goes to a village, sees a pastor who is struggling, builds a church there for the pastor. That is what he does. He just builds churches in villages. If he dies and we appear before the throne room of God, say, how many souls have you won? You won 5. They will tell him he won 500,000. He will say, it's not true. I didn't speak to you. He said, no. The temples you built was a platform for winning souls into the kingdom. Are you with me now? So although he may not ever worship in any of them, the legacy he has left behind will speak volumes. I remember those days when I was in Church of Pentecost. We had a certain where the church, the particular assembly I was part of, the building, the land was given by somebody. That person and the entire family, they never lacked anything. In fact, it was strange. Every time you saw them or saw the descendants from that line, you knew. Ah, is this one of them? Is that one of them? They looked different. It was as if the hand of God was intentionally on them. Legacy beyond yourself. So David built a temple. Number two. That's the evidence. Number two, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Matthew 9:27. We are in Matthew now. We are in the New Testament era. And that's awful. Yeah. So we have left Old Testament. We have come to New Testament.
Matthew 9:27.
Yes, sir.
As Jesus went on from there.
So this is Jesus. He's going on from there. What happens?
Two blind men followed him.
Two blind men follow him.
Calling out.
And they were screaming,
have mercy on us, son of David.
Son of who?
David.
I can't hear you. Son of who?
David.
They said, have mercy on us, son of David. New Testament, Matthew. This is Jesus. They know Jesus is Joseph's son or Joseph's son. But they said, have mercy on us, son of David. Root of David, from the line of David. The David that Bible says that he served his generation and rested, long ago he's gone. We have entered New Testament. Jesus, the Son of God, has come, and they are still referencing him to this man, David. Son of David. Blind Bartimaeus said, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Is that one too in your Bible? That's legacy, that's impact. He's not around, but they are still linking greatness to him. They are still associating greatness with him. In fact, one of the reasons they call Jesus Son of David is because he came from the line, the lineage of David. But David is not the only person from that lineage. In fact, David's father is Jesse. Why didn't they call him son of Jesse? Okay, David's son is Solomon. Why didn't they call him son of Solomon? There are different dimensions of impact. All of them are from the same line, but this one is the son of David. Many generations after this one, may people still remember your name for what you lived for and for what you did. Let that be your story in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. If all you think about is the here and now, God really can't use you to bring transgenerational impact. Yeah. If all you think about in your mind is the here and the now, you have disqualified yourself from being a candidate for transgenerational impact. Some of us attended schools people built. Those who built their schools are dead and gone. But those same schools have raised us. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Impact. They are not alive, but they are still educating people. So we have done Old Testament. We have done New Testament. Now let's do today. Psalm 96, verse 1. Have you heard this song before? Is that still B? Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing a holy song from your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. You know who wrote the song? Prof will read.
Psalm 96, 1.
Yes, sir.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth.
Stop there. Who wrote the song we just sang? A psalm of David. Today, 2023, we are still singing a song a man wrote many, many, many generations ago. What are you talking about? So his impact has crossed his time, crossed his children's time, crossed into the New Testament, entered 2023 with us. That you read the Bible, it's a psalm of David, and these are songs we are still singing today. Songs we are still singing today. See, do you know one thing that made him unique? David is a shepherd. So by extension, he's a farmer. True or false? True. David is a musician. Because not only is he writing songs, he plays the harp. True or false? David is a king. True or false? David is a priest and a prophet of God. He's anointed for all these things. So one man, look at the many things he's doing. You are sitting here saying, all I am a banker. It's enough. Is the bank yours? Who will remember you when you are dead and gone? That's all I came to do in life. I came to do banking. Have you not realized those people, when they retire, they die early? Oh, I'm telling you. Ah, do you know why? They get up every day of their life, 8 to 5, 8 to 5, 8 to 5, in the same rhythm. The moment they retire and come home and they wake up for the next 1 month, not knowing what to do with their lives, they have been bored, their children are all grown and they have left. Now they don't know what to do. And then God says, you let me take you out of your misery. Come and rest. That all I came to do in life is that I'm a doctor. That's all. You can do more. Did you hear me? There is more on your inside. There is more potential in you. There is something greater in you. There are dimensions you haven't even opened yourself to realize. There is more that you can do. You can't just be one dimensional if you want to make that the level of impact that we are talking about. The man is a shepherd, but he's a musician. And he's a king, but he's a priest. He's all these things. In fact, he's a builder because he's building things. He's a leader. He's leading. He's a warrior. He's fighting battles. One man, many dimensions, multifaceted grace upon his life. So the impact you're talking about, say, some of, I want to do business. What business do you want to do? I just want to sell tomatoes. That's all. I want to be an entrepreneur. You are not knowing anything. You say entrepreneur. What have you? Multifaceted. Multi-dimensional. Amen. There is more on your inside. I want to provoke somebody this morning. Sometimes people meet you and say, are you a pastor or a prophet? I say, whatever you want, you can call me. It's okay. The title doesn't really matter to me. Whatever you want. So I didn't know you can sing too. So I try. I didn't know you can play the bass guitar too. So I didn't know you do this too. Listen, don't limit yourself. This is all I do with my life. There's more that you can do. There's a lot of potential on your inside. Okay. Let me show you that David wasn't so very different from us in terms of the challenges he faced, so that you will not be sitting there thinking that I have an excuse to fail. I want to rob you of every legitimate excuse you think you have. So what were his challenges? Number one, he was a forgotten shepherd boy. Small beginning. It wasn't like he was born into prestige. See, Solomon was born into prestige, but David was not. He was a shepherd boy. They have sent a prophet to the house to anoint a king. Everybody has forgotten him. He doesn't even come to mind. So they run through every person there and realize that the one God is looking for is not here. Then the father said, oh, I have a son somewhere in the wilderness. And then the prophet said, that we will not sit till he's brought here. So they forgot him. A major event like this, a prophet that doesn't appear all the time, just God sends him to the house and everybody has forgotten that we are not, all of us are not here. So you are not the only one who has been forgotten. You are not the only one who comes from a small beginning and small background. That cannot be an excuse. Are you with me? So in our family, you know, we don't have anybody. We don't have any help. Nobody has help. David doesn't have help. Even the Solomon that had helped, his level of impact cannot be compared to David, because it's not an excuse. And that is why Ephesians says, take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way. Because whether you have help or not, you have opportunities. And it is up to you to decide how you want to take it. So a shepherd boy who is forgotten, instead of deciding for himself that, you know, I hate my life, nobody loves me, they have forgotten me. Imagine him in the wilderness, and they are there, all the brothers and the whole family is there, and they are meeting with the prophet and he's tending sheep. Imagine the ideas that could have possibly entered his head. My father doesn't love me. Nobody likes me. And then when they say they are looking for, is it now you are looking for me? I won't come. Why didn't you call me from the beginning? You can decide to be offended, or you can see it as an opportunity. When he met Goliath, one of the experiences he had was that he fought lions and bears to secure the lives of his sheep. And that gave him the authority to stand before him. So that experience that he had, that looked as if it was a forgotten experience, he maximized it and used it and leveraged on it to be able to defeat Goliath when the opportunity came. So it is not an excuse. You decide whether to make it something to be offended by, or make it something that you can leverage upon for your next level. Are you with me now? So being from a small big, it is not an excuse. You know where some of us were born from. Jesus, the Son of God, was born in a manger. In a manger. So he can't say, because I was born in a manger, I won't fulfill my assignment. No, it's not an excuse. Amen. Some of you were intentionally born where you were born, so that when you change things around, you can look back and say, it is not my strength, it is God. But for God. Amen. But for God, it is not an excuse. Number two, Saul's jealousy and pursuit. Saul's jealousy. You remember when the women started singing, they said, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed 10,000s. And he became jealous of him, looking for him to kill him. Not only jealous, he was actually looking for an opportunity to kill him. So you are not the only one being envied. You are not the only one people are jealous of. It is not an excuse. Say, Abba God, you just helped me to defeat Goliath. Why are they pursuing me again? Why are they pursuing me? Why won't they pursue you? When that which is on your inside is great and has to bring impact, you'll be pursued. It's part of it. The jealousy is part of it. That they are jealous of me, and so you are hurt. when people are jealous and they are envious, I get excited. Do you know why? You can only envy what you wish you had. You can only be jealous of what you wish was yours. So if people are jealous of you, it must be an indication there is something in your life they wish they had. Why are you bothered? Why are you offended? Keep moving on. Keep doing it. Keep increasing. The more you increase, the more they become jealous. Then the more you increase, the more... And is that not a beautiful rhythm to have in life? Especially knowing that their envy can't touch you. After, you know, Saul pursued David and pursued him and pursued him. Eventually, see what God will do. God turned the tables around. David now had the opportunity to even kill Saul. And he said, I will not touch the anointed of the Lord. The man that was chasing me and chasing, God flipped things around. And now the man's life was in his hands. So being pursued, being envied is not an excuse. David had that same situation and yet kept walking on, kept running on. Like, look, after being pursued, you could think that, but God said I'll be a king. Why are they pursuing me? Samuel is a liar. Hey, that's Samuel. He came to pour oil on my head. After that, look, I've been having one trouble after the other. Is that not true? Because after they poured the oil, do you know the first thing that happened to him after they poured the oil? He went back to be a shepherd. Nothing has changed. Then the next time we hear of him, he's fighting Goliath. Then the next time we hear of him, he is being pursued by Saul. But I thought he had just been anointed. I told you the other day that every man is graced, especially if he is in God, to fight the battles and the challenges that come his way. So the dimensions of battles that confront you is the evidence of the level of anointing upon your life for those battles. Are you with me now? So the Bible said, God will not allow any temptation to come your way without first making a room of escape. In other words, he knows that an avenue for escape has already been made available before the battle arrives. Amen? So because of the anointing he had, it was commensurate with the battles he was facing in his life. It was not an evidence that he had been abandoned. It was actually the evidence that God was with him. So Paul said, a great and effectual door had been opened for me, but great is the opposition. So the presence of the opposition is not that you have been abandoned. It's not the evidence that you have been abandoned. It is actually an indication that the door is great and it is yours. So he was pursued, but it wasn't an excuse. Next, he had family issues. He had family issues. How many of you know he had family issues? Yeah. He had a son called Absalom who rose up against him, wanted to take his seat from him, wanted to take his throne from him. His own son. It's one thing when the enemy is from the outside. It's another thing when your enemy is within. Some of you have just remembered an auntie that doesn't like you. When it's close, it hits different. When the enemy is outside, it's different. But when the enemy is very close. So for David, the enemy, the one who wanted to take his throne, was his own son. You'll be thinking, why did I even give birth to this boy? Eh? Why? Family issues. He had a daughter called Tamar. Tamar was raped by the half-brother. So also connected to David, Amnon. And Absalom went to kill Amnon in revenge for what he did to their sister. One family, look at, it's like a Mexico drama. What is all this? And this one has done this, and this one has stabbed this one, and then this one, they have to give us adverts, and then next week on. Hallelujah. And all these things were happening in his family. Wow. So having family issues is not an excuse. Like, my family has problems. Whose family doesn't have problems? Whose family? Some of you are here, but you are the problem in your family. You. You see, have you not realized that in everybody's story, they are the angel? So who are the wicked people? I've been wondering, who exactly are the wicked people in life? In everybody's breakup story, they are the ones who were good. Hey, Awoya. But he had family issues, family problems. It didn't stop him. I know your family is not perfect. Nobody's family is perfect. But that is not a rationale. That's not, an excuse to make you lose focus on making impact. See, some of the people you look at and you think, their family is so nice. Do you know the things in there? If they open up and they tell you, you go home and hug your parents. You give them a big hug. They'll be wondering, what is it? You don't know what I've heard. Yeah. So it is not an excuse at all that my family... No, it's not. Next, he committed a grave mistake. He made a grave mistake. Bathsheba and Uriah. So that was his mistake. Saw a woman he liked, killed a man for the sake of that woman and married a woman. He made a serious, committed a serious mistake, serious error. Committed a serious crime, serious sin. But it didn't stop him. You see, you are not the only one who has made a mistake in life. Don't be defined by your mistake. Don't be held back by the mistake. David had his own mistake. Don't allow it to hold you in one position and keep you spellbound. Move from it and keep going for it. You see, many of us have still not forgiven ourselves for sins God has forgiven us of. God doesn't have a record of it. He said, I will blot out your sins and I will remember them no more. So some of us have asked for forgiveness. God has cleared it. But the enemy keeps giving us flashbacks. So we are unable to forgive ourselves. And God doesn't have a record of the thing you are battling with. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. You think you are the only one who has made a mistake? You see the person seated by you looking so much like an angel. If God were to give you filler, info, you will give glory to God. See, because the truth is, most people know how to package themselves and make themselves appear sanctimonious in the house of God. And so sometimes if you focus on them, see, that's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of, not unto man, unto Jesus. Because he alone is the standard, not unto man. That is the looking unto Apostle Josiah. Madam, if you are looking unto me, you'll be disappointed. Let us all, me and you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Can I talk to somebody at all? So your mistake is a mistake. It happened in 1995. Why are you still crying about it? Why? It is not an excuse. Say, or is it because of this thing that things are not working in my life? Are you serious? Or because I did this, that's why I can't even get a job. Or that's why I'm struggling. Somebody told me that. I said, tell God, if I have sinned and it's the reason why I'm struggling, you should forgive me. I said, really? That's how you are thinking? Then I'm not surprised you are struggling. I'm not. Because everything captured in your mind will eventually become your reality in life. So Job says, what I greatly feared has befallen me. When he was fearing it, did he tell anybody? No. It was only him and his midnight battles. He was afraid. But what he greatly feared eventually became his reality. So you must be intentional about some of the things you entertain in your life. Everybody is struggling. You and who are struggling? Please, madam, you're on your own. Hallelujah. So your mistake is not an excuse. I did this. And you did it. God has forgiven you. Except you haven't asked for forgiveness, then it's a separate conversation. We will pray with you for forgiveness by God's grace. But beyond that, move on. Look at somebody's face and say, move on. So look at another, say, move on. Say, go forward, go forward. Yeah. See, the enemy can hold you with one mistake, one error. Hear me? The mistake will have consequences, but it does not mean that it should keep you in the same place. Because every action is created in the kingdom to release a consequence. So give and it shall be given. Consequence. There are things that you do that must come with consequences. But the fact that a consequence to an action remains does not mean God hasn't forgiven you. It is the system that has been set. Let me give you an example. If you go and fornicate with somebody who has HIV and you get HIV, God may have forgiven you, but guess what? You have HIV. That's the consequence. Am I making sense? That is the consequence of the action you took. God has forgiven you, but madam, so your mistake is not an excuse. It is not. Next. Violence and warfare. David was associated with warfare. Just one battle after that. Every day is fighting. Every day is fighting. Oh, unbeknown to all of us, all the battles were part of his purpose. Wow. All the battles were part. Just battles. One battle after the other. A king who, or anybody who saw David and his reign, and saw Solomon and his reign, if the person is not in tune with the mind of God, he would think that David didn't do well. It is actually Solomon who God is with. That's why Solomon is not fighting. Are you with me? Because he's just resting. He's just chilling. In fact, the magnificence of Solomon, it was so great that the Queen of Sheba had to come and see with her own eyes. All these things you are seeing, and ushers will be wearing the same dress and they are in uniform. Solomon started it. The Queen of Sheba was shocked when she came and she saw the fine raiment that they were all wearing and the quality. And it says they were looking even better than the lilies of the valley. I haven't seen anything like this before. She brought things to come and just dash to Solomon. When the father was fighting battles, he was receiving gifts. But you can't look at the two and say that David had failed. No, the battles were part of his purpose. And so fighting battles upon battles upon battles is not an excuse to fail in life. Why always me? Why not you? Who else? Because for those who fight the greatest battles, their impact is also the greatest. Amen. Yeah. Those who fight the greatest battles make the most impact in life. Some of you are the keys to open doors for your siblings. That is why you are fighting all these battles. I just hit somebody's heart with what I just said. It struck the iota, left ventricle. The word has entered that part of your heart. Amen. And so you must agree with this in your heart that My battles notwithstanding, I will still make impact. My battles notwithstanding. Agree with it in your heart. You see, the Bible says, guard your heart, for it is out of it the issues of life flow. You see, your heart can say things your mouth will never say. And so your heart speaks louder in the realm of the spirit, more than your mouth will ever say. How is it that you can see somebody and he hasn't opened their mouth, but you know they don't like you? Have you seen those people before? They haven't opened their mouth to communicate to you because their heart is speaking loudly more than their mouth will ever speak. So settle it in your heart. Settle it. Let there be a settlement. It is settled in my heart that I am a person of impact. It is settled that my battles cannot stop me from making impact. It keeps you moving. It keeps you going forward. It keeps you rising. Nothing can stop you. Last one, aging issues. Aging. 1 Kings 1:1. 1 Kings 1:1.
1 Kings 1:1.
Yes.
When King David was very old,
yeah,
he could not keep warm even when they put covers over him.
Okay. So he is growing old, and the things that come with old age have started showing. But it still doesn't stop him from making impact. In other words, he is going through the modalities of life. Being God's friend, it didn't excuse him from following some of the patterns of time and patterns of life. Yeah. It was part of it. It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. Look, this morning, I have robbed you of all your excuses. There's no legitimate excuse you can possibly come up with to say that this is the reason why I didn't make it. You don't have an excuse. So like the Paul said in Ephesians, it said, keep your focus. It said, live your life well as one who is wise and take advantage of your opportunities. Do you know that in spite of whatever you say is going on in this season, there are many opportunities around us? Am I talking to somebody? There are many opportunities, many avenues. Some of you, you are the demons I need to pray against. Should I explain to you why? The reason is, I don't have anything against you personally, but as a ministry, the Lord has spoken to me about the caliber of people we are raising. How many times have I said that here? Many, many times. The level of people we are raising in this place, people who would be generals in different aspects and different industries. And if they are going to be here and you are sitting here and you say, I won't be part of it, I need to be praying for you. Because you are moving in a direction that is not in tune with the vision of God for this ministry. So you don't have an excuse at all. You don't. Yeah, God called me only to be a pastor. What kind? We remember you. Do you know the number of pastors around? Do you know the number of pastors around? Will we remember you when you are no more? We still talk about many, many mighty men. Look, you can talk about, we talk about Archbishop Benson Idahosa. We talk about many, many of these people. We talk about Smith Wigglesworth. They did ministry. When you are done, would you be remembered? In your industry, in nursing, they have Florence Nightingale. When you are done, would they remember your name? Awoya Akuto Memorial Hospital, would they remember your name? There's an architect who is so and so who revolutionized something. His name is, would they remember you, sir? Would they remember you? I am a footballer. Would they remember you? So I can mention a footballer to you, be wondering, who is he? What did he do? He too, what did he contribute? But you mention people like Lionel Messi, and the Messi fans will have smiles. And you mention Cristiano Ronaldo, and the Ronaldo fans will have smiles. In whatever area they decided, they have made impact. Look, if they stop playing football today, they die and go, we'll remember them. Our children will come and be watching videos of how they played. Are you with me now? They have made impact. So in your industry, in your field, in your sphere, what impact are you going to make? How would you be remembered? You don't have an excuse. I started small, it's not an excuse. I didn't have help, it's not an excuse. I made a mistake, it's not an excuse. So, you know, I made a mistake, I gave birth early. And so what? I gave birth out of wedlock. Madam, and so what? It's not an excuse. You will build and make impact so much that the glory of having a child will be upon you. Am I making some sense? Yeah, it's not an excuse at all. So if I hadn't done this, so I dropped out of school, nobody had to pay my fees. You are not the only one who dropped out of school. People have dropped out and they have made it. When you make it, schools will be begging you to take doctorate. They'll be begging you, please take doctorate. Let's give you doctor in addition to your name. The thing that people went to learn for 7 years before they got, they will beg you because you have made it. So there are people who have been given honorary engineering doctorate degrees and they never stepped in an engineering class, but they lived the life of an engineer. So you don't have an excuse at all. What is your excuse? That I don't have capital. You are not serious. You don't have capital. You know that human resource is a capital. Your brain is a capital, except you are saying you don't have brains. By the time you leave here, I want you to be angry with yourself and angry with your situation and say, this is not enough. Where I am is not enough. Where we stand is not enough. This our level in Grace Temple is not enough. Angry in your spirit. There are days I can wake up at dawn and say, no, this is not enough. 2 a.m. I'm awake, looking into the skies. Say, this cannot be all. How is it possible that we haven't roofed by now? It's not enough. This is not us. Or is this us? This is not us, Lord. So you need to be angry in your spirit, fire in your belly. I'm a keyboardist. Would they remember my name? See, you will think that about who remembers keyboardists. Who remembers them? Be there. In their industry, when I mention a name like Bludo, they all know him. Because he's somebody who has made impact. In their music sphere, you can talk about people like Mozart. So Germany. Yeah, you quite selling don't go on you. And I back here from Westlife. I remember those days my classmates who singing notebook, they're writing the words. They go and hide in a corner, all the girls, and they will start ready go, no moves, soon. Now hey, they are self grade. So wherever you find yourself, you know it's possible to be an employee of a bank, to move from being an employee of a bank to being an owner of a bank. Is that one too possible? It is. Yeah. The people suffer, the people you are working for, they are asleep. You know, tomorrow is Monday, you're going to work, they are playing golf. So this cannot be enough. It cannot. I want to do real estate. You haven't bought one land. Are you serious? You haven't asked the price of land before. It's not something you are interested in. Something. See, not having the money is not an excuse. You see, take action. Start moving. Working on people's lands. Asking for the price of land. Become familiar with the thing you want to do. One day you meet somebody who says, you want a land. I have these acres. Come and let's partner. That's it. You are gone. If you don't take the steps, how would you have even the opportunity? Sleeping on your bed will not bring the opportunity. I want you to be angry in your spirit and say, this is not enough. Can we pray? Lift up your right hand. Begin to pray right now. Say, Father, a life of impact. I desire a life of impact. Lift up your voice. I desire a life of impact. Shala katabraga. A life of impact. Bela marasola gatas. La Lomali Vazado Krasanto Shalabrahata. A life of impact. Nagado Vazilahata. Evele Mahatas. Oh, a life of impact. That this ministry will be a ministry of impact. Generations yet or more will give glory to you in this place, in this temple. La Vazado Shabragatis. A life of impact. Not one as unwise, but a life of impact. La malanda ba shalakata. A life of impact. That will bring blessing to us, blessing to our children. A life of impact. It is not enough. This is not enough. La la banda gata. Legora sanda bradia shala. Give me glory.
Adonai. They call him Adonai. Sing it, Adonai.
Bless you. We give you glory for your word. And we ask that the grace and all resources required for us to live lives of impact beyond our generation, let that grace be released in the name of Jesus. We declare that that which has become a bed of comfort, the excuses that we have made reasons for not pursuing life. Thank you that our minds have been disabused of those connections, and that we march forward fully aware and settled in our hearts that with you on our side, our lives shall not be ordinary anymore. Our lives shall be lives of transgenerational impact, that in our various chosen fields and industries, our names shall be registered and etched in the records of time. We give you glory and we give you praise. Let confusions be removed. Let lack of clarities be settled. I pray, O God, that every wind that distorts the vision in the lives of your people, may those winds cease, and may you usher us into a new dawn where we have clarity of purpose and the vision is ever so clear. In the mighty, matchless name of the Lord Jesus, we call it done. Amen. Oh, put your hands together for Jesus. or you can do it better for me.
Thank you for listening to the Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. For more of these messages, please subscribe to his podcast and SoundCloud. It's Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. To interact with him, like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr.